The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 20th chapter, starting at the first verse. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. It's not fair. It's just not fair. I remember saying that as a kid. I had two sisters, and we always wanted everything to be fair. Well, in these two stories today, there is much more at stake than having the same size brownie or the same number of cookies after dinner. In these two stories, both in Jonah's whale tale and Matthew's portrait of the merciful landowner, these two stories should ruffle our feathers. I know it does mine. The Protestant work ethic is something that has been a marvel since its inception during the Reformation around 500 years ago. This work ethic demands that workers arrive on time, if not early. Workers are to be eager and competitive and should take initiative. Many of you grew up with a work ethic like this. Others learned it on the job or in the military. It is a standard of behavior and productivity that garners respect and results, if not rewards. In light of these two stories of Jonah and Matthew, our dander should be up a bit, because before us is a portrait of work and reward that flies in the face of what this world has taught us. It's just not fair. Why should God be merciful to people of Nineveh when they clearly don't understand the rules of the way that the world works? The early bird gets the worm. If you work hard and follow the rules and follow God, then good things will come to you, right? Only that's not exactly the way that it works in real life. Jonah certainly did not anticipate being pursued by God, being asked to go and prophesy to the great city of Nineveh, to prophesy that their destruction was imminent. And yet, I don't think Jonah's reluctance had much to do with the prophetic message he was given, but rather his own discomfort with being a prophet sent by such a merciful God. God pursues Jonah, who naturally runs, of course. I mean, all the prophets run, right? But there's no hiding from Yahweh. But But that does not stop Jonah from running. He does everything possible to outrun God's pursuit, God's blessing, and God's task. Finally, when Jonah steps into his role as preacher and prophet, Jonah addresses Nineveh with the shortest sermon ever. Repent. 40 days more and Nineveh will be destroyed. Jonah steps into his authority. He takes seriously his role then as a prophet. And then it seems that his credibility is destroyed. Because God is, in fact, merciful. God is merciful, yes, and generous and forgiving and loving. And I can just hear Jonah protesting and saying, but God, you said that you would destroy those people. Jonah is caught up in his own head, in his wounded ego. He is insecure as a prophet. The people of Nineveh repent and are saved, and Jonah is miserable. He goes off into the desert to pout like a dog with its tail between its legs. This is certainly not the portrait of the prophet that we thought we would see. What has happened is that the people of Nineveh, they get it. They get the simplicity of it. See, they had turned away from God, but after hearing Jonah's plea, they turned toward God. They left all that behind. Very simple. Job done. But it is Jonah who sits in the dust under a wilted bush in the company of a worm who is choking on his own wounded ego, swallowing the lump in his throat that is his own pride. Whatever mercy looks like, it cannot be seen in Jonah's eyes, for he has no mercy for those people or for himself. Now, if any of you have ever spent time downtown in any large city or at any government, capital of any kind, you will hear chants coming from the people whenever there is protest. And one of those is, it goes like this: show us what democracy looks like. And the reply is, this is what democracy looks like. This mantra is repeated over and over, and that caught in my ear when I was preparing for today's sermon. And I started thinking, what if, as citizens under God, we took up our own rally cry? Show us what mercy looks like, the people cry. And we say, this is what mercy looks like. Our task would to embody the mercy of Christ, remembering the right and a privilege it is to bring that to the world. No more would people wonder who our God is. They would know, not just through our actions, but our words. Yeah, maybe this sounds odd coming from a Lutheran pastor saying that we should get out there and show some mercy. After all, just 500 years ago in the Reformation, the Lutherans broke off from the Roman Catholics with one major tenet, that we are saved by grace apart from the works of the law. But does that mean that we are exempt from doing works of mercy, works of loving kindness? No. It is because we are saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ that we are able to love, that we have the capacity for tenderness, mercy, and forgiveness. Can you imagine a world in which the ethic of mercy would reign supreme? What if the ethic of mercy was valued more highly than the ethic of hard work? What if the imperative to love ruled over our lives? What would that look like? Well, we might arrive late to work because we stopped to help someone with a flat tire. You might forgive a debt or forgive a grudge, a long time grudge, just because you can. What would it look like to have mercy rule this land in our workplace, in the place where we bring our children to the classroom, in athletic competitions, or in the marketplace? Well, one example that I have came to me while I was an intern pastor at a church called Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in South Minneapolis. Now, while I was just getting my feet wet as a pastor, they were encountering something new in their neighborhood. So storefronts started closing, and in its place was going up payday lending organizations. And there were all kinds of people in the neighborhood who were saying they were desperate. They were desperate for emergency assistance. And so what started out as a small loan ended up being something with 450% interest that would trap them in debt forever. Now, this church had no idea what this was about. They just started talking to the business owners and the neighbors, and they found out what this was about, this payday loan trap that people were falling into. The church knew they had to do something. And so they created what is now Exodus Lending, which provides financial education to these neighbors and allows them to refinance these debts with no interest. Helping their neighbors climb out of debt is an act of mercy. Instead of shaming these neighbors, they were empowering them to get out of debt and then to save for future emergencies. That is what mercy looks like. Now, here in Invergrove Heights, Eagan, West St. Paul, we are situated in a neighborhood that is growing. We have so many opportunities to love and show mercy to our neighbors. Our task, then, is to practice that presence of mercy with God and with our neighbors. At Holy Trinity, they got to work with their neighborhood, and now we get to do the same. First, we must practice with each other and then move out into the neighborhood. And it's not that hard. It starts with a conversation like this. What joys do you experience in your life? What burdens weigh you down and keep you up at night? And how can I walk with you in that? Simple, but powerful. Jesus put skin on and showed us so many examples of loving one another and showing each other that mercy. Our task, then, is to embody this every day. Every day to show that ethic of mercy to one another. So to the call, tell me what mercy looks like, we can respond, this is what mercy looks like. That should be our rally cry. Thanks be to God. Amen.